believe that? The angels are here. God is here. God, the creator of everything, is here. Brother Branham made that statement that day about that he's so thankful he was mindful of us. That makes us so little. It's good to see you, son. It's good to see each one of you. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you are mindful of us. Lord, even when we were so far away from you, you were still mindful of us. And you had great plans for us already laid out and went to work bringing those to pass unbeknownst to us for a long time, Lord. And we're so thankful that you done those things. We pray, Lord, you'll help us. Father, bring us closer into that walk this morning. Make things so alive in our hearts, Lord, that we will be that Christ of today, Lord, because we have stepped aside and you are manifesting yourself. And that's the way a Christian wants it, Lord. We pray that you'll have your way this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I got a lot more than I usually have. And so I cut and cut, as we've always said before. And I decided that no matter how long it took, I was not cutting no more. And so I want to get this thought over. And, you know, we talked about Moses this last time. And we talked about how that God done what he done in Moses. But he couldn't do anything with Moses until he got Moses out of the way. You remember that? Remember he stayed in Pharaoh's kingdom for 40 years and got indoctrinated with military this and education that, and he was great amongst them. Moses was. And then God took him out. See, he tried to bring to pass God's word himself. Tried to go out and he saw who he was, but then he tried to bring it to pass. And it ended in a disaster. We saw that. And that's the way it always ends when man tries to do it himself. And so Brother Branham said that God took him out on the backside of the desert and got all him out so that he could use him. Brother Branham said that he could not use one of Moses' abilities. That makes you wonder why he even picked Moses in particular. And Brother Branham said there wasn't nothing special about Moses. That's just who God picked to be that prophet in that day. It wasn't a special ability that he had with Moses. All he wanted in Moses, he put in Moses to make it be. And so I am so glad that I'm not standing here this morning on Chris's ability, because I don't have any. I'm pretty poor at this here. But when I go to the study, he shows me things that I can't keep from sharing. And I'll share them here, or I'll share them on the internet, or I'll share them to somebody that'll listen somewhere on the side of the road somewhere. Anybody that'll listen. I can't help that. I didn't put that in me. I can tell you I have not wanted it a lot of times. In myself, in my flesh, I've not wanted it a lot of times. Most of the times. But at the same time, there's something in me that wants what he wants more than anything else in this world. And so, with that thought about Moses, how in the world did God do with Moses what he done with Moses? Moses wasn't born again. There was no Holy Ghost then. How did God do that with Moses? And we find out, we've heard so many times, that by his foreknowledge he predestinated. He put Moses there. He put the predestination in Moses. He brought to pass in Moses what he wanted to bring to pass. And so in every last one of his children, he does exactly the same thing. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. God blending together with his people. And how that happens, man. You know, we look at the invisible union and we think that that's the only time Brother Branham was talking about this union. But he started talking about this union far, far before that. He started talking about it when the seals started opening. He was talking about it in types before that. And he started talking about it so much in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed when he started talking about preeminence. Preeminence. That's what he predestinated, preeminence. And so let's look at how he brought that to pass. So let's review just for a minute this first quote here. Brother Branham's talking about, he's talking about the two covenants. He had a covenant with Adam, the first man on earth, and that covenant was on conditions. And if you do so-and-so, I'll do so-and-so. And Adam would have something to do in order to keep this covenant alive before God. So what was God? What was Adam keeping? God's word. God giving, Brother Bram said, he gave him 10 words to keep. And he didn't keep them, did he? There's no way around it. He didn't keep them. And why is it that Adam did not keep them? Because of the situation there in the garden. He was not going to turn loose of Eve. God made it that way. He made it to happen that way. We know those things. But it doesn't negate the point that Adam done it. And we realize here that God never intended for man to bring his word to pass. He intended to bring his own word to pass. What does the scripture say about who's the interpreter of God's word? He is. He interprets it himself. What did Jesus say? And he's our example. What did he say? He said, it's not me that does the works. And if you can't believe me, believe the works. Isn't what he said? It's not me that does the works. It's the Father that dwells in me. He's doing the works. And we're going to find out how that even happened. It's glorious, brother and sister. Because he said the same thing is going to take place in his children in this day. Yeah. The same thing. Not something like it. The same thing. Not a type. The same thing. Because what did he say in Christ the Mystery of God? Did he come that first time? He had preeminence in Christ and paid the price. Because he had preeminence in Christ, it was God that died that day. God can't die as a spirit. He had to die as a man. And if Jesus wasn't completely surrendered to God, so that God's will was flowing through Jesus, then it would have been a man that died that day. But it was God as a man that died that day. See, it's God, not one like your finger. See. And something had to happen there. God showed us something in Jesus. And Brother Branham went through it so detailed. And we're going to get it this morning. And how can I overcome? I went to this message not knowing this was in here when I was looking. And I didn't even title this The Oneness till this morning early. But I've quit trying to do anything. I just show up, okay? So this message is beautiful to me, and I hope the Lord will let you see it. And I believe he will, because I believe we're all seed. Adam would have something to do in order to keep the covenant alive before God. He had to walk in God's ways keeping all of his word, not breaking one word. But then he made another covenant that was with Abraham. And this covenant was not on conditions, but was unconditional. God gave the covenant to Abraham, no strings tied to it at all, unconditional, not I will, I have. I've already done it. Predestination. See what it's speaking of? He's already done it. What do you think produced that faith in Abraham? What was it? Was when God spoke to that seed, that predestinated seed in Abraham, faith was created. Faith come into his heart and gave him power to overcome and to walk for 25 years denying everything that was going on. God did that for Abraham. He didn't expect Abraham to produce it himself. He produced it in Abraham.
Amen.
He produced it in Abraham. And he produces it in you. We just have to be patient. We have to wait on him. No matter how many times we fall down, we don't quit believing that what he said was the truth. Because that's what he's bringing to pass. We have to just keep trusting him to do it. And this is in Ephesians. The true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. And you might want to go read the other half of this later on when you get home. Because he talks about that gold and how it got to be that way. Her righteousness is his righteousness. She don't have her own righteousness. It's his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. How did this get to be this way? Her identity is found in him. She loses her identity and gains his identity. If you have a chance sometime, go read what Brother Ram said about the key of David and how that in the wedding that she takes her veil off and she puts it on his shoulder. That means she's given him full responsibility. She's given up her identity and given it to him. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. How did that happen? There's only one there's no fault in, and that's God. There is no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. He's speaking straight to our hearts, brother and sister, this morning. He's speaking straight to your heart. You are glorious within and without because of him. That should bring such a peace. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord. And all his works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up. That's, you know what summed up is? The total. In her is the total. It manifested, is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. You see why God was going to do it, not a man. God was going to do it in man. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith, for God hath spoken it. Amen. All right, so we're going to start in the message now. How can I overcome? Lord, he's praying there to begin it. Lord, we would ask that you'd go out among the people and seek out that predestinated seed out there. See what he's doing? See what he talked about when he said that Jesus met the woman at the well and he spoke the words of eternal life. He spoke those words. And what happened? She had a seed down in her. There was no stopping that seed from hearing that and it sparking her. And what did it do? It overrode that old nature that was in her and spoke something that was completely against the way she'd been born.
You see that? How else was it going to happen? Was God's predestinated seed being brought to pass? Not in whole, but in part. You see that? All right. Same thing happened in Moses. Same thing happened in Elijah. Same thing happened in Abraham. Same thing happened in Joseph. Same thing happened in every last one of them. Lord, and bring it around in some way that the light will fall across the path, Lord. For we believe that the hour is getting late and the sun is sinking, swiftly sinking in the west. And when we shall soon be, then will soon be that time shall be no more. Time and eternity will blend together when God and his people blends together. Look how he put those two together. Isn't that incredible? Now, it's not an accident that he said that. It's not an accident that when he set up the garden, he put Adam and Eve over all of it. Over all of creation was Adam and Eve. And when they fail, everything else fail with them. You saw that? You see that? Time and eternity will blend together when God and his people blends together. So how is that blending going to happen? And we pray, God, that at that time, that we will be numbered among those that will be blended into Christ. I don't know about you, but I find that beautiful. That will be blended into Christ. That's called his bride. Amen. Now, skip it on down to paragraph 51. Notice, we see these hours that we're in, this stage. And he's made to make a statement about now, the day we're living in. We see these hours that we're in, this stage, and we see what it is. And the Holy Spirit is rebuking the age that put him out. They've already put him out, and the Holy Spirit is rebuking them. The message that's coming forth is rebuking them. But in all that, did you notice, to him that overcometh? Now, what did Brother Branham say in Souls in Prison? That the message was going to the total lost and to the bride. So now he's talking to those that are rebuking. He's rebuking those ones that put him out of the church. And at the same time, he's talking to him that overcometh. At the same time, he's placing it right here in this dark age. But in all that, did you notice, to him that overcometh, even in that worldly wicked church age, he that overcometh. We come here that God has always, we find here that God has always had overcomers. He's had overcomers in every age. And what did he say? He predestinated that seed in every age to receive that word that was going to come. Amen. You see that? He's preaching the same thing. He's just showing it in different ways all the way through there. We find out that he's always had overcomers. He's had overcomers in every age. There's always, every time in every age that there's been on the earth, God has always had somebody that he could put his hands on as a witness in the earth. Who's doing the witnessing? God is putting his hands on him and doing the witnessing. Just like that little woman witnessed to him whenever God spoke across that word, that predestinated seed, that witness ran into the city. When the word went across the word to Luther, and it struck him that the just shall live by faith. And that started the testimony that swept across the earth there. It's God Almighty. Now, what about us this morning, brother and sister? What about us when we get up in our lives every single day? Is the same thing not taking place? Brother Ram said we should look at our lives. That's what he's getting ready to say here in just a minute. There's always, okay, you got that. He's never been without a witness. Through sometimes just one. But somebody overcome now, like the saints of old. Now, how will I know then, Brother Branham, that I'm in there? Watch what kind of life you're living. Now, this one's going to grab people's intellects and jerk them in six different ways right here. Watch what he starts talking about, though. Watch what kind of life you're living. If I just stopped right there, how many interpretations would come from that? Watch what kind of life you're living. How many of them would be the Adam interpretation of them doing it? Most of them, some variation of it. Just look around. See if it's just lived out of you automatically. Or do you have to strain and pull, see, when you're doing it? But don't try to do it. Did you ever try? Yeah? Don't. What did he have to get out of Moses? Moses tried to do it himself. He had to get that out of him before he could use it. But don't try to do it. Did you ever try? Yeah, don't. Just like a putting a little baby's arm in a sleeve hole, you see. He's just up, down, over, and everywhere else. See, he can't do it. Put on your coat, honey. He can't do it. Little arm is up and around and down and around. He takes you steady. It takes your steady hand. Oh, how glad I am. I can just yield my hand to Father. Say, Lord Jesus, I can't get in there. You help me. Put the coat on me. I quit trying. Just let him do it, see? If the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it, I can do it. If he keeps trying, that's what he's doing. He's saying, I can do it. He still hasn't surrendered. If he keeps trying, he said, don't. And he's just everywhere. He can't do it. You go back and look, if you get a chance, at that key of David, and where she puts her responsibility on his shoulder. She has no more responsibility. She's not picked it up. She'll never pick it up again. She has given it to him. Look what he says about the word pure. Look what he says about those things in the Church Ages book. Watch what kind of life you're living. Just look around. I think I got that. I got way ahead of down there. I put marks on the paper that I didn't put on my text on the computer, so I didn't want to pull the computer out. The computer makes me look at just this much, you know, and then I don't lose my place. But so I'm sorry if I'm jumping around. Forgive me. And this little baby keeps trying. Oh, I can do it. I can do it. And he's just everywhere. He can't do it. Neither can you. Neither can I. But if we just hold still and let him do it. See, that's what you got to do. You have something to do. That's hold still. Trust him. That's enough. He's made a way for that. Just yield to him. Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. I yield. You see the blending that's going on right here? This is the blending right here. This is what God has been working to bring to pass all this time. This yielding right here. Because he couldn't use Moses till Moses yielded. He can't put your coat on until you stop trying to help him put it on. That's why he couldn't do but so much in the Church Ages. And that's why he revealed these things in this age. It's just everywhere, okay. Just let me be nothing, I yield. You put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. That's overcoming. The thing you have to overcome is yourself. Your idea, your thing, and surrender yourself to him. He overcome for you. And how does that happen? by revelation. He knows the way. He knows the way we don't. But in Noah's time, there was 8 overcomers, and that's what went in. They were caught inside. Now, friends, I believe they're taping this, and if it's, we're going to skip down. Whatever you do, who is listening now or who is will listen hereafter, the hour is very late, and you do have good intention, but be called inside. You can have good intention, but be called inside. Inside the ark. Don't struggle. Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God. Just let God. Just yield yourself to him and walk on with a perfect, satisfied faith. With a what? Perfect, satisfied faith. No man can come to me unless my Father draws him. What is that that's drawing you? The faith that you put in you. Just yield yourself to him and walk on with a perfect, satisfied faith that what God has promised, he's able to perform. Not join in one denomination, another denomination, run this, that, or the other, trying this. Just yield yourself to God and walk with him, peaceful, quiet, not interrupted. Just keep on walking with him. That's right. Just keep on. He's interpreting his word. Aren't you part of his word? Isn't he going to interpret you too? Isn't that he's going to bring you to pass? Just keep on walking with him. That's right. Now he skips on down and he starts talking about examples in the Bible of people who have been overcomers. And Daniel, a man, a prophet, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel was the prophet. And that was the size of the church in that day. I mean, the bride. It was the size of the bride in that day. 4 people. There's lots of church. About 2 million of them went down there. But that was the size of the overcomer. That was the size of the elected. And them overcomers was put to the test. And every overcomer has to be put to the test. And when they said, you take back what the word says, or either be thrown in the fiery furnace, they refused anything but the word. They couldn't bring the word to pass, but they could refuse to accept anything but the word. Notice each church age, the same overcome when they, each son of each church age, overcome the temptation of that age. Predestination for that age, overcome the temptation for that age. I got the scriptures here. I don't think we really have time to make it out, but we know each one of the church ages, same now. It's just like as I said in the beginning, you're born defeated. And that birth can never bring you to life. You see that? It can never bring you to life. That birth. Because you're born defeated. See what? If you didn't have that predestination down in there, what would happen? If your name wasn't written on that Lamb's Book of Life, what would happen? All right. And you're in a defeated world amongst defeated people, amongst defeated creeds, defeated denominations. You've got to come to victory some way. You've got to come to the victory some way, but you're born defeated. So without predestination, it's over. You see, God making a way for his children all the way down. It's just like a lily. There is a lily. Whereas a lily, I think, is one of the most prettiest flowers there is. And I caught something about this lily that I hadn't caught before, and I'll read it to you in just a minute. I'm very fond of those great calla lilies and pond lily. I think there's nothing hardly as pretty as that great big pond lily. Call it water lily. How it's radiance. Now, where does it come from? It's a little seed down in the bottom of a muddy, mucky pond. And that little seed, yet all the radiance that'll ever shine in it is in it right then. Everything that God's going to make that little seed, it's right there, right then. You know, a while back, science found out that there was mathematics in a seed. You seen these pear trees, how perfectly shaped they are? And those are hybrids. Man realized how that math in the genes of those trees was what God used. God put math out there way before man ever found math. God's math is perfect. And so he put it out there, and it just forms those trees. And they made it so that, you know, those things are so weak now. The ice storm come along, and the branches fall off of them, and they just crumble into pieces. They're just a mess. But so God, they're messing with God's math and doing their own math and messing things up. But the point is, I'm trying to point out that when you plant that pear seed, where those tree limbs are going to come out, that's in that seed. Where they're going to come out at. All right. And that little seed, yeah, all the radiance that'll ever shine in it is in it right then when it's in the mud. When it's in the mud, it's in it. Predestination. When it's in the mud. But it has to strive daily, knowing that there's something. Something's pulling it. Down in that darkness, it can't even see the sun. If it does, it's awful murky. But it knows something is there. But it has to strive daily, knowing that there is something. It's black, it's dirty, it's mucky, it's slimy. And in that slime that it's living in, yet it presses its way through the mud and the muck and the waters and the stagnant places until it sticks its head above in the light and expresses. When does it express it? Not when it was coming up through all the mud and the water. It's when it breaks through into the light is when it expresses it. Until it sticks its head above in the light and expresses what's been hid in it all the time. But what got it to the light in the first place was God putting the life in that seed. Until it sticks its head above in the light and expresses what's been hid in it all the time. I think that's an overcomer. That once in sin, once did the things that was wrong, but don't worry about it now. Once did the things that was wrong then, now why look back down into the pond again? They're gone. See, it don't live down in there anymore. It lives up here in the sunshine. Once did all these things that was wrong. Then now we look back. Why look back into the pond again? See, God by his predestination, see, has brought this seed to life. And it's pressing itself. See, coming to the light. It brought it to life before it ever got up to express itself. You see that? Remember Brother Branham talking about that during the church ages, they're begotten, not born. They're expressing the vine, the stalk, the different things that he talked about of the plant. But what's in the seed is not really being expressed until it hits the light. God, by his predestination, see, has brought this seed to life. and it's pressing itself, see, coming to light. And now on the top of all that, it has overcome. See, it doesn't express it. I'm sorry. And on top of all of that, all of what he just talked about, it has to overcome, see. It doesn't express itself down there. It's getting up to express itself. Hallelujah. How many times do we fall down and make a mess before we finally get there and give it all to him? What a mess we make. Neither did you in your sin and adultery and everything that you lived in. You didn't express nothing. But there was a seed in there, and it got a chance to press itself into the light. And now you're in the presence of Jesus Christ with the sunlight. It brought out what you really was in the beginning. You see what I mean? What God saw about you in the very beginning, this is what it's bringing out. God and his people blending together. There's no more a need for time. No more need for time because of the perversion. God's doing away with the perversion. Remember we read that quote the last time, that he was doing away with sin. Anointing the most holy. Sorry, I keep losing my spot here. You didn't express nothing, but there was a seed in there, and it got a chance to press itself into the light. And now you're in the presence of Jesus Christ with the sunlight. It brought out what you really was in the beginning. You see what I mean? You saw the light. You bloomed out. You laid your heart open, and now you're a lily. Now you are that vision that God had of you. You're not the defeated thing that was born into this world anymore. You're a different creature. You remember my sermon on the lily, Reverend Lily, how he toils and yet does not spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. It takes nothing. He takes nothing for himself. The lily don't care nothing about himself. What does he do? He throws his beauty out, his life. Now, he's talking about the Christian. He throws his beauty out, his life, that others might see. His life is expressed out that others might see the glory that's in him, that was in him in that mud. Now he's on top. That's the overcomer. He overcome the mud. He overcome the things of the world. And now he freely gives himself out. Everything can look at him. Everybody can look at him. His life. You can't put a finger on it, see? He's a real overcomer. You can't say nothing about him now. He come out of the mud. Don't that sound like invisible union to you? You can't say nothing about him now. He's out of that mud. But he's not in the mud now. He's on top of it. Amen. You can't now point back what he was. What is he now? He's on top. Amen. Jesus gave us the example. How did he do it? Now, I want you to watch Brother Branham marrying these two together. You watch what he does. Watch how he takes Jesus' will and God's desire. And you look how Jesus is laying it down over and over and over and over. And that laying it down brings to pass, brother and sister, the reason we can have preeminence in us. Watch what you don't have to take my word for it. You can read it. We'll read it. Jesus gave us the example how to do it. Now we want to know how to overcome. Jesus told us how to do it. See, humility. Girded himself, took a towel and washed the disciples' feet and wiped them. The very God of heaven humiliated himself. The very God of heaven humiliated himself. We don't want to be humiliated. See, you get humiliated, you lose your identity. That's the reason women don't want their hair to grow out, see? The reason they don't want to dress like ladies should dress, because other people will humiliate them or try to humiliate them. Look, men don't want to. See, it's the same thing. They don't. They get humiliated. But Jesus constantly, look who he was. Greatness. I'm going to say something. Greatness humiliates itself. Great humbles itself. Greatness. I've had the privilege of meeting some great men. And it's these guys that's got a change of clothes and 50 cents in their pockets. And to rattle, that's the guy who thinks he's something when he's nothing. But I stood by great men. I mean great men with ragged sleeves and cuffs. And they'll make you think you're the great person, see? Greatness is humility. Don't forget that. What did Brother Bram say eternal life was? Living for others. Don't forget that, church. Greatness is expressed in humility. Now, not how fine you can be. I don't mean dirty now. I mean humble in spirit. See, I don't mean just get out and don't ever wash and clean up. That you should do that. You know that, see. But I'm talking about humility, genuine humility, not something is put on, something that's real humility. Now, I was just reading the other day where Brother Brown was talking about that man. Remember the man that he go hunting with? He said he had the snake eyes. Said he was just real cruel-hearted about shooting those does and stuff, or those baby deer. And he was talking about what moved that man. When he bowed that doe call and that mama stepped out, she knew that hunter was there and she knew it was danger. And she knew that it could be death to step out there like that. But she stepped out there anyway for that baby. You see that? No concern for her life at all. It was for the baby. She stepped out to find out where he was. And that hit that man. That was his concern. That's what hit him. Realness. Not fakeness. Not playing a game, not a denomination, not being whatever, you know, Joe does this, so I do that. You know, Bill does this, so I do what he does. Not one man following another man. It's just a bunch of nonsense. Brother Bram always said, you follow me as I follow Christ. So we're always following Christ. Always. And how would we know that? If he tells us to follow, Brother Branham says, follow me as I follow Christ. How do we know he's following Christ? Because God is showing us what the truth is. That's the only way. Now, we want to know how to overcome. Okay, we got that. Where did I get to here? Jesus told us how to do it. Overcome means to stand the test. That's right. Like all the saints, old saints did. Like Jesus did, amidst of all his enemies, he stood the test. Everything he was tested against, he stood it. And in the very face of sickness, in him being the Messiah, he healed them. In the face of death, he brought it back to life. In the face of Calvary, his own death, he defeated it by surrendering himself to it. He surrendered himself to death. And that's how he defeated it. Why? By the word said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. So he surrendered to the fact that the temple had to be destroyed. And he raised it up in 3 days. The word said so, see? And in the presence of death, he defeated it. He overcome death. In the presence of hell, he defeated hell and overcome hell. See, in the presence of the grave, he overcome the grave. Why? All by the word and humility. Oh my, there's the real man. There's the one you make your example, see? He defeated everything, overcome it. Look, temptation was for him. You know that? The Bible said he was tempted in all points like we are. All points. Yet without sin. He was tempted on all points like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted by drinking. He was tempted by women. He was tempted by everything that could be tempted. That could be tempted by. He was tempted by everything that we are. He was a man, and yet you couldn't put a mark on him. And how did he say? He said, "It's not me that doeth the works, it's the Father that doeth the works in me." And what were these works? These overcoming works? Was the Father doing it in him? This was God coming and dying for us, brother and sister. Overcome. Not oneness like the oneness teach. I'm not talking about that. This was a man who had a will, and he yielded that will to God. What did he pray in the garden? "Not my will be done, but thine, Lord." No, you're going to read some more about that here in just a minute. He was tempted by everything that we are. He was a man, and yet he couldn't put a mark on him. Overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. Now that takes revelation. You're not going to recognize the devil in all his tricks without revelation. You know, and the devil's tricks, sometimes they don't look like tricks. Sometimes they, you know, and you'll get into it and you'll find out you got tricked. And until you believe that little thing is what got you tricked, that little thing was Satan, you'll keep making that mistake over and over. Until God shows you that little thing. What did he say? The little foxes are what spoils the vine? It's separating from what you think. Overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. A lot of people says there is no devil. It's just a thought. Don't you believe that? There's a real devil. He's just as real as you are or anybody. A real devil, and you must recognize him as real. You must recognize him as real and real enemy. As long as you keep thinking this little thing and that little thing's okay, you can let this little thing and that little thing go. It's not. I was trying to think of an example. I can't think of an example. But just like there was a guy at work the other day, he recommended a book to me. It was a fiction book about virtual stuff. And when I got the book, it was really interesting. And I started reading it. And then the man's language started. Foul language. I mean, foul language. So what are you going to do? Are you going to keep reading the book, or are you going to lay the mess down? Because if you don't lay the mess down, you are accepting it. You see what I'm saying? You're accepting it. You watch, you come across something, and you're on the internet, and you pull up the news, and they start showing some nonsense. What are you going to do? If I didn't have to work in the internet, it would barely be on at my house. Because it's far, far, far worse than television could ever be. Far worse than television could ever be. You can't turn the television on without cable and see the mess you could see on the internet. Not even, you couldn't even fathom and come close to it. But the internet is the nastiest pits of hell there ever was on that internet. Don't play with the devil. in no way, form, or fashion. You know, we say we separate from unbelief. We separate from people who want to go drinking and doing all these different things that are wrong. We don't go drinking with them. We don't go do these things with them. And then why not? We're not, if we went with them and we didn't drink, so we didn't drink. But what goes on after you go with them? The conversations that start after you get out there. They only know the world, and it's going to only be a worldly conversation. You see, we allow these things. We allow these things in our presence. I'm not telling you how to live. I'm just telling you that the Brother Branham said you have to recognize Satan in all of his tricks. And if you want to dismiss it when the Holy Spirit tells you this is wrong and you don't want to get away from it, then get ready, because you're going the next step. The same time that you recognize him and you know that he's the devil and he's against you, then to overcome, you must recognize that God in you is greater and mightier than he is. That the one that's in you has already overcome. And by his grace, you're more than a match for him. You see that? Sometimes you'll land in a place where you didn't mean to be in that place. God will take care of you. No matter what kind of mess comes out of their mouth, no matter what they say or how they act, God will take care of you. But when you put yourself in that place, that's what I'm talking about. The difference is God will take care of you if you are respecting his word. You must recognize that God is greater. Amen. So now 106. That's the real overcomer when you recognize. You look back and say, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. You're defeated. Because you're saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Remember what Brother Ram said at the day of judgment? They'd say, didn't I do this and didn't I do that? And he says, depart from me. If you're saying that still, he said, you're defeated. But there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then you realize that you've overcome. And you know that he is a devil. You can see him right when he starts his stuff. You see him. You can't say, I got a sickness and I don't believe it's a sickness. Now listen to this. You can't just in your own self decide I don't believe it's a sickness. Oh yes, it's a sickness. You got cancer. You don't believe it's a cancer. It is a cancer. It is a cancer. But remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See where he's pointing you back to. Every battle is his battle, not yours. Quit trying. Quit saying, oh, it's not a cancer. I don't believe it's a cancer. I believe it's gone. Not unless God speaks those words through you. You must realize that the Holy Spirit that's in you has already overcome this thing. And he's in you, and you can overcome by him. That's exactly sensible. It's exactly the way the scripture is written. Overcoming. Now, look, he showed us how it's done. How did he do it? How did Jesus stand and was tempted on everything and yet no sin? None. How did he do it? By the word. That's how he done it. For he was the word. He said, if you abide in me and my words in you, you're back to word again. See that? The word of promise. What is the word of promise to every Christian? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's your promise. Every one of God's people, that's their promise. Now, how do I overcome? Not me, but the word that's in me. See, he keeps pointing us back to that. And that's exactly what Jesus done. He said, it's not me that do it, it's the Father within me. Where it's all his confidence was. completely and totally confidence and trust in God. That was it. And we got that life in us. It's going to produce the same thing. It has to. You look at the world that we're living in, in the nasty, filthy mess that's on this earth, and the stuff they're trying to make you think and make you believe and force you to say this and force you to say that. And it, and then that's this obvious stuff. The deceiving stuff is way more. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Then how do I overcome? Not me. When you ask that question and you say, how do I overcome? That's what's the title of this message. How do I overcome? And the answer is not me, but the word that's in me. The word is God. And when I overcome the things of the world, because it's the word in me. The same thing Jesus said. Exactly. If you abide in me, my word's in you. Then ask what you will. Just keep pressing on. You're coming to the top. As sure as anything. Remember, he's referencing that lily again now. You're coming to the top. As sure as anything, you got to come to the top. Amen. The first, now he's going to talk about how Satan attacked Jesus three times, three different ways here. Every time he was trying to get Jesus to do something for himself. And what is overcoming? It's not doing it for yourself. It's looking to the word to do it. The first he made this attack upon, he used his great power, which he knowed Jesus was the word. He knowed his position. You believe he did? I, the Son of Man. He knowed his position. And the Satan come and wanted him to use his own power on himself to feed himself. Want to feed himself. He was hungry. And a man gets hungry. He can do almost anything. He'll steal and rob and beg and borrow and anything. Yes, and he had an appetite. And Satan used this great major assault upon him to make his power that he had been given to overcome with and use it on himself. Think about that. Satan just wants him to just for 1 second do his own thing. Just for 1 second, do your own thing. And he's over in the corner. Just so happy. Because what happened? It's not God's word when you're trying to do it. Amen. And Satan used his first great major assault upon him to take his power that he'd been given to overcome with. He'd been given this power to overcome with. The very power that he's overcoming Satan with right now, Satan's trying to twist him around. And you see how deceitful he is. Satan come himself to tempt Jesus. Given to overcome with and use it on himself. He didn't use it on himself. No, he used it on others. That's right. Brother Ram said, he read somewhere that one time Jesus had healed somebody and sat down on a rock and groaned with a headache. He used it on others, not himself. It wasn't for him, though he could have done it. He certainly could have done it. You see how the devil gets? The devil wants you to mind him. He wants you to mind him. He wants you to do something he told you to do. He minded only what the Father said do. Now let's take just for an instance. Do you see that? Those two wheels coming together. Jesus didn't do the works. He's taking no credit whatsoever. I'm not. And this, you see what Moses done back there. He was told what to do with the rock, about the water, and he did the opposite. He said, I will do this. And that's why he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. Because he said that and done that. There is a bride that's ordained not to fall. Yeah. For instance, like our sisters, they're pretty. This is another example of trying to get you to mind him, mind Satan. And he can get you into a place that you let your hair grow out and you didn't realize it looked so nice on you. And the first thing you know, you get a kind of feeling a little stuck up, a little above something else. Look at that. It's not, God's not tolerating it. This is something you're doing yourself. See, you're thinking of yourself. That's the same thing Brother Bram said that the devil was put there beautiful because it was going to bring out what was in him. He thought so much of himself, he decided his ideas were better than God. The first thing you know, you get kind of feeling a little stuck up, a little above something else. Now, how can we do these things, brother and sister? How can we put those things from us? We can't do those things. Brother Bram said we're born defeated. But he, when we put our identity over in him, and we lay it over into him and leave it, some of you men, you know what I mean? See, he can take that same thing and proposition it with you. That's right. See, you got to overcome that. Just remember, you're living for God, not yourself. You're living for others. That's eternal life, remember? You have one objective. How many objectives have we got? One. And that's Jesus Christ. Outside of that, nothing else counts. That's him. Then secondarily, for your family. Thirdly, for yourself. But first for God, next for your family, and next for you. You're number three. That's the end of the road. Put yourself last. He did. Then the second assault. I'm a hurry. Just think. Just looks like time is goes so fast. And how it does hit God's servants. Oh, I'm sorry. The next great assault was he made upon him that he would show off. That Jesus would show off, to show who he is. I'll prove to you who I am. See, he, Satan trying to get him to prove to the people who he was. Not let God prove who he was. Satan trying to get him to show off. Listen to what he says. How that does hit God's servants to be a show off. You know what that can do? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a deliverer. I'm so-so. See, come up here on top of the temple and sit down here. He tempted him to do it. You remember? He was tempted to do it hard. He tempted Jesus hard to do this. He was a man suffering these temptations. If you want to be something before the people, stand up here on this temple. Jump off, see? I'll give you a scripture for it. Listen to Satan. He's bold, ain't he? I'll give you a scripture for it because it's written, he'd give angels charge over thee, lest any time dash a foot against a stone. He'll bear thee up. To make him a show off, to show his authority. If he did that, he would have ruined his testimony because he said, it's not me that doeth the works, but the Father who doeth the works in me. No true servant of God ever does that. You see a man showing off his chest out and all like that, you just remember there's something wrong there. No, God don't want that. Jesus set the example. He could have done it. He certainly could have done it, but he didn't do it. No servant of God is a show-off of himself. You see that? A show off of himself. If he'd have done it on his own, it'd have been a show off of himself. Like Moses doing what he wanted there at the rock. To try to take God's power and show himself above somebody else. The third great assault. Satan offered to forfeit his kingdom to him. So the whole world was Satan's. He said, he did. Satan said, see these kingdoms of the world? These are mine. I do with them whatever I want to. I'll forfeit them to you. But you remember, he was trying to get him to forfeit it without the cross. If he did, we'd be lost. You see what he was doing? He was appealing to Jesus' manness about that death on the cross he knew was coming. And he was trying to tempt him to go around that death that he knew was coming. But God in Jesus, God did it. He could have looked, he could have took the kingdom, but he must follow, he must come back. He was tempted to do it now. See what he's saying? Jesus was tempted to do it. Death is a hard thing. He was tempted to take his liberty and be the king of the earth without the cross. Jesus was tempted. But if he did, his subjects would have died. Satan would have gladly made that proposition with him. But he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't do it. He come and he suffered and he took the hard, rugged route. He took the route of persecution. He took the route of death. Are we this morning willing to do? Take that same route that he taken? Are we willing to die? Are we willing to give ourselves up to God? Forfeit all the world and the things to serve him? Are we willing to give it up and let him take care of it? Now, he failed to do it. Willing to forfeit it, Satan was to him. But he didn't do it. So Satan failed to get him. Though Jesus was tempted, he overcome for us. He endured all the temptations for me and you. See, he could have took it right then. But what did he take the other route for? So that we could come and be with him. And if he paid such a price as that, this was God Almighty as a man doing this, brother, sister. You look at the humiliation. Amen. Tell me that's not a God that loves his people with a fierce love. That would put himself through that for us. You think about that. He created everything. And then he took the brunt of it to show us how much he loved us. He could have just created us with the thought in us that he loved us and we believed it. But he's not a fake God. He come himself and showed us how much he loved us. In a way that we could understand. We're men. We could understand, if we think about it in a minute, what he was going through right there. Knowing what was coming ahead of him. Knowing what they were going to do to him. Knowing the society that he lived in and how they hated him already. And how they were going to turn against him. It took God as a man. And it'll take God as a man. Men and women this day to do the same thing. Though Jesus was tempted, he overcome for us. I think I got that. But what did he take the other route for? So that he could come, we could come be with him. And if he paid such a price as that, then how little would we be not to take it? Then remember, there is nothing here anyhow. In this world anyhow. And there's far less now than there was then. If you live in 100 years, what are you going to come to? Mental and your mind gone, all crippled up and old and shaky. And there's where you're going. That's the end of it. You come now, overcome the thing. How do you do it? By the word, what the word says you do. Walk humble. Live before Jesus. He endured all things for you and I. He endured all things for you and I so that we could have his life and do the same. Because we're born defeated, remember? He was our example how to overcome our evil generation as he overcome his evil generation. Remember, when he come to the earth, there was just as much unbelief or more that there is at any time. It didn't bother him a bit. When they called him a devil instead of God, when they called him everything that could be done, it didn't bother him a bit. He had one objective: mind the Father, keep the Word. The Word is God. He had one mind. Amen. I know I've kept y'all a little longer than usual this morning, but I didn't want to break this up. And so this is our last page here. This is in Who Do You Say This Is? God had called Moses. He didn't want to go. Moses didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do. It was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to be going out and be scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship and go in with the rest of them and go along with brothers. But you see, just like I forget what the prophet it was. If I don't want to do this, in other words, but my whole heart will catch a fire. God has spoken and I must deliver it. Whether they liked it, whether they crucified him, whether they stoned him, whatever they did, God has spoke in his heart. And he must say it, not to be different, but be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice, hearkening unto the fats of rams. See, it was in his heart. He must do it. It was his life. He couldn't hold it. There was something pulsating that pushed them. They couldn't bless it or curse it. God had so much complete control of them till he was their voice, their action. Hallelujah. And what about today? People want to say everything about the prophet. They want to call him a prophet and then not give him the same thing that the prophet was giving Moses. They want to play him down and make him weak. They might as well get away altogether. Give me a church. Did I skip something there? Give me a church that's so completely anointed with God to their every action and move is thus saith the Lord. Did he not say we would have thus saith the Lord or we'd be quiet? Every action, and that's not making noises. That's every action. You'll have thus saith the Lord or you won't do anything. Till their every action and move is thus saith the Lord, walking in that Shekinah glory. I'll show you a Messiah. If you show me that, a church walking like that, I'll show you a Messiah. I'll show you a Messiah, anointed one of God, standing upon the earth. There stood Moses by this burning bush and the Shekinah glory standing there, anointed. He didn't know what he was doing hardly. He was just obeying what the voice said do. Stick your hand in your bosom. Pull it out. Take up that rod. Turn into a serpent. Throw it back again, down again. No matter what anybody else said, he was doing it. That's not the Moses that left 40 years ago. That was a different Moses now. God had got all the Moses out of him. And now he could use him. Said, Lord, show me your glory, and I'm ready to go to Egypt. I'm not an eloquent man. I can't speak well, but you just let me see your glory. And he showed it to him, and he went down, and he took those same things and to show that he was the anointed Messiah, that man picked up dust off the earth and threw it up into the air, and flies flew out of the dust and covered the earth. What could create but God? Took water out of the river and poured it on the bank, and every drop of water throughout Egypt turned to blood. What could do that but God? What was it? He was so completely surrendered to God's anointed word till he was the Messiah.
Amen.
That ought to make us so little today, but at the same time, make us very bold in our Lord. I don't know what else to say. I done said all I could today. I really, really, really appreciate this word. I really appreciate you sitting and listening to it. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I know sometimes when we bring things, Lord, sometimes it seems so simple. But Lord, you hide yourself in the simplicity of the things. Lord, you didn't waste your breath when the prophet spoke. Everything he said was for our benefit, for the benefit of the children of God, for your kingdom, Lord. He said he couldn't say his own words. Lord, we're so thankful for those words. And Lord, not just the words, but life to make them live in us, Lord. And Father, we're so thankful that you've brought us up out of that mud, Lord. So many times in our lives, it looked, we didn't know where we were going. We didn't know what was happening, Lord, but you were bringing us. And one day we hit the top of that water and things become real to us. And we begin to realize, Lord, what was happening, what was taking place in our lives. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you've let us see it. We pray that you'll bless us and be with us today. Be with those that are away, Lord, traveling, those that are having to work. And we're believing, Lord, that Brother Goomba's not going to have to keep working like that on Sunday. We're trusting you for that, Lord. And we're going to believe for Emily's back, Lord, that you'll make that well, that she's not struggling with that anymore. Amanda, if she's still sick, Lord, you'll be with her and help her. And Lord, may you, if there's anyone I forgot or didn't think about, may you touch them, Lord, and be with them. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Brother Michael, if you come sing something.